Amen. Yeah, love church, love the Bible, love God's people. Oh, I do have something else. Is this anybody's? This one has got a city map of Astoria, Oregon. Ooh. All right. Nuts, I wanted that one. This is a Whitefish Credit Union mug. I knew it was yours. Why? How did I know that? But where's the lid? Okay.
It's in the bucket.
Okay. Does anybody else have a Go Mug cabinet or drawer at their house? Isn't that ridiculous? An entire cabinet, you know? It's like when you design the cabinet, you know, you never dream the guy would be like, okay, you need a Lazy Susan, you need a spice cabinet, one for your china, and also one for your Go Mugs. All right, Romans 8. Now we're doing Romans 8. Now, we've already been in there, and we did kind of an overview of it last week. The theme is the triumph of grace through the Spirit. Paul ends Romans 7, talking about, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And so, we talked about how the new man, that babe in Christ, right, doesn't have the strength to overcome the old man. And so the Lord interjects the law of the Spirit, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So law as in a governing rule. So whereas before we operated according to the law of sin and death, the law came in and said this is wrong, we sinned and we were condemned. Right? That was the law. That was the rule. That's just like gravity, just like the laws of physics. That's the law we were subject to. When the Lord interjected the Spirit, now we're subject to the law of the Spirit. And the Spirit is not condemned. The Spirit is that which raised up Christ from the dead. The Spirit is not subject to the law. Because why? Because the Spirit is sinless. And so on and so forth. And so we talked about that a little bit. And look at this really quick. The Spirit in Romans chapter 8, just as a review a little bit, he says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me, what's the word?
Free.
So we're free. We're free. Well, before we were in bondage. In bondage to what? Paul said in Galatians, we were in bondage to sin. We were in bondage under the elements of the world, under the law. And the law condemned us, but now we're free. And so he says that there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we're free from judgment. We're free from judgment. Not only that, but we're free from slavery to sin. Look what he says in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear. And so we're freed from slavery to sin. Not only that, we're freed from the curse. Its ultimate effect. Look what he says in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only thee, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. He says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. So we're going to be free from the ultimate effects of the curse, which is death. And then, of course, we're free from fear. We're free from fear. Look what he says in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son. He says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? And we know nothing. And so And so we went over that a little bit, and that's just by way of review, by way of review. Now, where did we leave off last week? How far in did we get to this? Romans 4? Yeah. I hope we're not all the way back in Romans. Oh, I get it. I get what you're saying. All right, now look what he says here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And you know that. There's a part of you that just does not love the law of God and is not subject to the law of God. Then he says this, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And what you'll notice here is that he contrasts a saved man and a lost man. He contrasts a saved man and a lost man. And but we know, because when we're saved, that we still have that old nature, that a saved man can act like a lost man. Right? And so you have these two ideas going right alongside each other. We're not in the flesh, we're in the spirit, right? We're not under bondage, we are free. Yet we can behave as if we're not. And so you'll see those two concepts right alongside each other. And I showed you that verse in Colossians last week, I believe, about that. Now, notice this. Look what he says in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the what? All right? So we're not in the flesh anymore. We're in the spirit. Number two, we're in life, not in death. Look what he says in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is what? Life. So we're not in death anymore. We're in life. That eternal part of us, our soul and our spirit, is connected to Christ's life, right? Before we were saved, right, we were condemned with our body. Where's your body going? It's going down. It's a mortal body subject to the curse, subject to sin. When your soul was attached to that, is going to drag it down with it, right? But because we've been made free from that, now we're not in death anymore, we're in life. Notice something else. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and what? Peace. And we're not at war with God anymore. You know what, when you're in the flesh, and we talk, what did Paul say? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Is that what he says in Romans 5? When we were enemies, where is that? Right? Look at Romans 5:10. Right? So a sinner, a lost man, a lost woman is a enemy of God. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. So we've gone from a state of being at war with God to being at peace with God. Look what he says again in verse 8 then. He says this, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, we've gone from pleasing the flesh to pleasing God. So we're in a different place. We're in a different place. Now, we have options either to be fleshly minded or to be carnally minded. But just remember this, that the new creature, right, you're not technically in the flesh. You're in the body, but you're not in the flesh. And that's a term that you need to understand. Spiritually, you are in Christ. You're not in the flesh anymore, right? Now, of course, you're still in the body. That body is still carrying that soul and spirit around, right? But you don't live in the flesh anymore. You live in the spirit, and you need to get those technicalities. Paul says this, whilst we are in the body, we groan. He says that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, whilst we are in the body, we groan. All right, now, I'm just doing a little bit of overview here now. All right, so let's pick this up here in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, right? You say, well, is Christ in me? Yes, if you're saved. Because in verse 9 he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When you get saved, you get the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not saved. You get the Spirit when you're saved. The Spirit doesn't come and go. Now, you can be controlled by the Spirit to a greater or lesser degree. But you have the Spirit if you're born again. Now, look what he says. He says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That's Christ's righteousness, not yours. Not yours. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That means make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So that last part of you, right, that's still subject to sin and death, that body, that's the part that's going to be saved eventually. All right, now, what do we have? We have a promise of complete salvation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What guarantees that? The Spirit guarantees that. Why? Because the Spirit that's in you is the same Spirit that raised up Christ's body from the dead. Okay? And so it's going to raise up your body from the dead. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look what he says in verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up who? Us by his own power. All right? He said, what's the guarantee that he's going to raise up us up? Because he raised the Lord up. Look at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's our guarantee. Our guarantee. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's why it's called the earnest of the Spirit. It's a guarantee. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God isn't a Native American giver. Amen. 2 Corinthians. I know it's culturally insensitive term, but you know what I'm saying, right? It doesn't give and take it back. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. All right? He raised up Jesus. He'll raise you up. Okay, go back here to Romans. Go back here to Romans. He always interjects this promise of complete deliverance. He always does that. He did it back in chapter 5 in verses 9 and 10, and he does it again here. Now, in verses 11 through 13, he speaks a bit about the new master and the full Christian life. Now, look what he says in Romans chapter 8, and then verse 11, he says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We already commented on that and how God will judge the body of a Christian, the physical body of a Christian. All right? And we talked about that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, the new creature can produce either death or life in their mortal body. All right? That's what we learned in Romans chapter 6. That if we live after the flesh, we produce dead things. If we live after the Spirit, we produce eternal things. Now, since our body is mortal, it's mortal. Look at this again. We looked at this last week, but look at Colossians chapter 3. Since our body is mortal, we're to mortify it. We're to mortify it. What's that mean? It means act as if it's dead. Act as if it's dead. You know what we do? We drag that flesh up and we pamper it. And we buy it presents and we indulge it. You know, like we talked about Sunday morning. Remember we were talking about Sunday morning about indulging our anger, indulging our anxiety, and indulging our jealousy? That's what we tend to do, right? We need to be dead to that stuff. Right? We need to be dead to that stuff. Why? Christ is dead to that stuff. Christ died to all those things when he gave it all up on the cross. And we ought to be dead to it too. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So you know what Paul says? He says, listen, the wrath of God comes on lost people because of this. It doesn't need to come on you. Verse 7, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. All right, so we're to mortify. Now, we allow it to be dead. We reckon it's dead. We believe it to be dead. Now, the reason for this confusion sometimes with people, the reason for this confusion is because a Christian's flesh is no different from a lost man's flesh. It's just no different. That's why, and that's why people get messed up on this eternal security thing. Your flesh is not saved, right? And a Christian is capable of everything that a lost man is capable of. Absolutely. If you don't believe that, you haven't lived very long. Amen. And look, and that's why practically speaking, not doctrinally speaking, but practically speaking, a carnal saved man can end up no better than a lost man when it comes to how he behaves on this earth. Look at Philippians, and that Lord will kill him, by the way. Lord will kill him. Look at Philippians chapter 3. All right, look what Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For, oh, hey, you guys just learned about that. Right? For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Oh, yeah. Can a Christian be an enemy of the cross of Christ? Absolutely. Why? Hi. The Lord said, Paul said, I die daily. Right? Christ said, take up your cross and follow me. Right? What's a Christian do that says, the Lord, I'm not going to take up my cross. I'm not going to behave if I'm dead. I'm going to live the way I want to. Right? And you're behaving as an enemy of the cross. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. And Christians can end up on this earth in just as bad a condition as a lost man can. And that's because your flesh isn't saved. All right, Paul says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Go back here to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I think we've covered most of this already. All right, he says in verse 14, for as many as are led, we already covered this, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's one of the witnesses of the Spirit. One of the witnesses of the Spirit is that you're led by the Spirit. Look at Romans 7:16. Romans 7:16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. You know what? You know what one of the greatest proofs is that you're saved? That it bothers you when you do wrong. Right? Paul says, I'm not always doing the right thing. And just the fact that it bothers me that I'm not doing the right thing, I'm owning that the law is good. I'm recognizing that the law is good. If I didn't have that love for righteousness in my heart, it wouldn't bother me when I'm not living right. You know, when's the last time a lost man was ever like, man, I'm so upset that I'm not walking with the Lord. You know, I'm so upset that I'm not full of the Spirit. Right? Lost man doesn't worry about that stuff. Right, that's something that happens with the saved man. The saved man, okay. And so you got to get that. The Spirit testifies with us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, I already showed you the verse in Galatians, right? Galatians 5:18. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, right? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And adoption is another example of how we're saved, another metaphor of our salvation, right? We are born again, but to be adopted means you're accepted into the family as an adult son. He says in verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so a Christian, when we get saved, right, we're free from the law of sin and death, but we do enter into a form of suffering. Right? We enter into a form of groaning. What is that groaning? I'm tired of this flesh. I'm tired of this world. I'm just sick of it. I'm grieved by it. You ever feel that way? I'm just so sick. I'm so sick how filthy this country is becoming. Just think of humor. You know, they have stories about Jim Bridger when he was on the trail. You know, he would regale the people he was guiding with all different sorts of stories, you know. And, you know, he'd say, I've been in this country so long that mountain was 50 feet taller when I came here. You know, stuff like, I mean, just make stuff up. Make stuff up, you know. He said there's that clear quartz in Yellowstone National Park. He said one time I was camping there, and I looked into the mountain, and I could see some Indians camping on the other side. And he said I went around to their camp. Took me a half a day to get over there to them, you know. Just, you know, make up stuff like that. You know, like clean humor. Clean humor. The corny stuff that you laugh at. Dad jokes. You know? You know what it is all now? It's just all disgusting. Filthy. Filthy. And after a while, you just get sick of it. You just get sick of it. We can't even laugh at a lot of stuff anymore. You know, it's just got to be edgy and dark and vile. You see? And you know what the Christian is? He groans in that. He groans in that, you know. Will Rogers, he told clean jokes, you know. You can be funny. That's the hardest kind of comedy, is to be clean funny. You know that? We groan. We groan within our, and we suffer. Right? All, why? Because look what he says here. Where does he say that? Galatians 5, is it? Look at Galatians 5. Yeah. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are, what's the word? So just contrary. Contrary. You say, what's I'm contrary to the devil. Right? You know what I'm contrary to? ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, all of them. I'm contrary to all of them. Right? Why? Because all of them are contrary to the scriptures. So I'm contrary to them. I'm contrary to the devil. Right? The devil. You know what the devil wants me to be? Envious. The devil tries to get me to be jealous. The devil tries to get me to be prideful. Right? I got to be contrary to that. I got to resist that stuff. Then my stinking flesh. My flesh wants to eat too much. All the time. So stinking sick of it. You know? It takes a monumental effort to lose a pound. It's just on me like cement. You chisel it off. You know? And on, right? Fighting that flesh all the time. Contrary. Well, you get tired. Get tired, you know? Like the old preacher said, you know? Where there's resistance, there's friction. Where there's friction, there's heat. When there's heat, things break. You ever just get tired of the whole thing? Right? There's an element of, we won't talk about this tonight. There's an, a Christian ought to suffer with Christ as well. But there's an element of suffering that you enter into when you get saved. Yeah. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Go back here to Romans 8 then. Now look what he says. Verse 18, like the old preacher said, Paul was a southerner. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. Now look what he says, in us. Because it's already in you. It's already in you. It's already in you. Right? It's not something that God imparts to you later. It's not something you're working toward. And if you're, you know, perfect holiness in the fear of God, that God then grants you that at his return. It's in you, right? But it's covered up by this mortal body, by this flesh. Look what he says in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature. For the, what's the word? Manifestation of the sons of God. All right, so that new creature is born again. He's adopted into God's family. He's a son of God. In here. You say, do you see that all the time? No, I don't see that all the time. All right? And your wife definitely doesn't see it all the time. All right? But it's in there. All right? And what are we waiting for? We're groaning for. We're groaning for that to be manifested. For something that was planted in here to bear fruit and be seen on the outside. And manifestation of the sons of God. Look what he says here in 1 John. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John chapter 3. What do you got inside of you? You got the Holy Spirit of God that created a new creature. Right? And we're groaning for what's on the inside to be known on the outside. Right? And look what he says in 1 John 3. Look what he says in verse 2. Beloved, we're hoping to be the sons of God. Is that what he says? No. Now are we the sons of God. But, or and, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So you're the son of God, but it doesn't appear yet. Right? Well, that actually makes total sense, especially for you ladies. I don't even want to go there. You know, is everybody a man in heaven? I hope not. You know, if he lets horses into heaven, you know what I'm saying? He should let women in. Amen. I'm joking. But no, right? But we are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. Look, a couple of you are like, I'm looking around deciding to be offended. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Right? Doesn't appear yet. What do you mean? It means, you know, I mean, some of you are kind of, you know, some of you are good looking, but you ain't as good looking as a son of God, I'm assuming. I bet when Adam was created, I bet he was something else. I just can't imagine the Lord creating Adam and Eve and them, you know, and them being, you know, ugly. You know what I'm saying? Whoops, is that what you said? Whoops, got to try that again. You know? Someone showed us a picture the other day, and they were like, hey, show this picture to Jaden, you know, this kid. And Blair's like, she's not going to like him, so she ran it through AI. You know, you can do that now, right? That makes us all look amazing. You know? Well, if AI can do that, I suppose the Lord can make something beautiful, right? What isn't Jesus Christ beautiful according to the book of Song of Solomon? Right? So there's something inside of us that's beautiful and sinless and is pleasing to God, and it's shackled by that flesh. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. I like that word know. Not we guess, right? We know. John has a lot to say about knowing. But we know that when he shall appear, that's it, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this, what's the word? Hope. All right. Now, we're saved. Go back here to, well, you know, let me show you another one. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. This is the blessed hope. That's what he's getting into here. The blessed hope. All right. This is what, why? We walk by faith and not by sight. Right? Because if you think about it, our soul, our eternal souls and our spirit, right? They're born again. Right? Really the most important part. Right? But it doth not yet appear. Why? Because we still live on this earth. Right? And 95% of the time I'm thinking about my body. right? I'm living for the body. I'm working for the body, right? I'm fixing the house, right? And the refrigerator and the dishwasher and the porch that takes care of my body, right? And shelters my body. And so in reality, right, we're the salvation that we have seems kind of distant and far away, even though we have it. That's just the reality. And that's why Christians, right, the nature of Christianity is not just what we have now, which it is, but something that we're looking forward to. And where'd I say go? And this is good to remind ourselves of this stuff. It's so important. And Paul, it's amazing if you read through his epistles how often he brings us back to this thing. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day, right? On and on and on. And you know what we got to do as Christians? We got to keep moving toward that. Amen. And we got to keep dying to self and reminding ourselves that we have something else beyond this life, because it's just easy to get bogged down. And we end up minding the things of the flesh, and we'll look back on a week and be like, well, that was a complete waste. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. He says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Something miraculous is going to happen when we behold the face of Jesus Christ. It's like a glass. It's like a mirror. Then we're going to be changed into his image. He's going to look at us. He's going to see himself. It's an amazing concept. But then he says this. Now I know in part. What do you mean? Oh, we're talking about that Son of God, that new man, that new body, that resurrected David Havman. I can imagine it, but let's be real. I know in part. Yeah. I can't even grasp it. I still think I'm going to walk up to some people in heaven and slap them and say, I didn't get you on earth, you know. I'm going to get you now, you know. Not really, but you know what I'm saying? Don't you? Hey, don't some of you wish, hope when you get to heaven, someone's going to walk up to you and say, you were right, I was wrong. Don't tell me you haven't thought that. You have, right? But you know none of, why? Because I'm carnal. Because I'm human, right? I can't conceptualize it, how great it's going to be, right? He says, now I know in part. My kids, they're going to say, Dad, you were right. Amen. Amen. Look what he says. But then shall I know, but even as I also what? Oh. Paul says, I don't know, but someone knows me. I'm going to know the same way God knows. Right? The same thing that God planted inside me when I was born again, that he knows. One of these days, I'm going to know completely. Look at another one. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. This is Paul's talking about when he was stoned or rocked. Paul was rocked. You know what he had? He had an out-of-the-body experience. That's what he had. And the Lord says, not your time yet. Get back in that thing. And so, look at 2 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 2. He says, I knew a man. I knew a man. Oh, yeah. Some of you that have been out of your head, you know, maybe chemically or otherwise induced, you know exactly this expression. I kind of knew a guy. I think it might have been me. Right? I knew a man, but this is different, right? There's no mushrooms here. This is just, Paul died, man. Someone grabbed one of those rocks and killed him, right? I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And he says this, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. You know what Paul glories in, what he rejoices in, what he's excited about that man that just for a moment he experienced when he died. You know what it is? It's foggy to him. I cannot tell, right? I'm seeing through a glass darkly on this thing. Go back here to Romans chapter 8. You can go on and on with this thing. On and on. But this is what we're headed toward as Christians. We're headed toward this. And it's a guarantee. Now look what he says here in verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. So the curse, listen, the curse is designed to point us to a hope. That is something we always miss with the curse, right? He subjected the same in hope. So when Adam sinned, God allowed the effects of sin to be evident in his life. He cursed the ground. He made him live by the sweat of his brow. I've talked to you about this before. There was sorrow in childbearing, right? What those things did is they reminded Adam and Eve constantly about the consequences of sin. Constantly. Why? So that we could look for a remedy. But we don't, it's not looking for the remedy for the effects of sin per se, it's looking to sin. God allows the effects of sin to be evident in our life so we can look for a remedy for that which displeases him, which is sin. All right? And so, look at Job chapter 19. Look at Job chapter 19. He subjected the same in hope. We've been subjected in hope. Job 19:25. So we make the most of it. Make the most of it. Now, Job, if anyone was persecuted, it was Job, right? Look what he says. Look at that hope. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for you. Look, that's confidence. You know what condition Job's in when he's saying this? His skin is falling off of him from those boils. His kids are dead. He's lost every penny. And his wife and his friends are getting on his case. You know what he says? I know. I know. Why? That's all he's got left is hope in God. That's all he's got left. And so there's always a blessing with the curse. You always got to remember that. It points you to the remedy. It points you to the hope. Go back here to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And he says this, he says, verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. And so our body now is subject to corruption, and you know that. You know that. Anyone who's ever had to dig a wart out of my foot knows that. In the bondage of corruption. But you know what? We're going to have liberty. The sons of God, the resurrected Son of God, right, is not subject to corruption anymore. It's liberty. Liberty from what? Liberty from your knees. Liberty from your stinking carnal mind. Amen. Liberty from bunions. Liberty from irritable bowel syndrome. Amen. Brother Joe, you can eat whatever you want. Seriously, free. What are we right now? In bondage. Right? You walk down the aisle at the grocery store and you say, can't, nope, makes me fat, gives me diarrhea, right? Gives me that, right? You're not free. You're not free at all, right? Some of you, if you skipped your pills for 2 days, you'd be dead Fred. Right? That you got to have a little thing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Right? Completely in bondage, man. We're in bondage. Right? You know what David said? Oh, that I had wings like a bird, that I could fly away. You ever just want to get out of this thing? One of these days we will. Well, let's just look at it. Because it's so good. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Right? The bondage of corruption. Corruption. I'll tell you, nothing in this world that stinks like a dead body. Oh, seriously. You'd rather jump into a dumpster full of dead salmon than smell a dead human body. Right? I mean, you want to talk about corrupt. We're corrupt. And look what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. And look what he says here in verse, it's all good. But look what he says in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That means some people are never going to experience death. I love how Paul uses that word, sleep, for the Christian. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's just sleeping. When someone takes a nap, they're going to wake up. Right? That's why he says sleep. You're not going to die. He says them which sleep in Jesus. Why? Because you're not going to bed forever. And look what he says in verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. What's the word? Incorruptible. You go into that ground, and if you wait just a couple days, man, you can't open it up. Just stinks. Right? And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. We talked about that. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, right? Through our enduring to the end. No. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise of hope, brethren. And this hope, go back here to Romans 8. Right. Look what he says here. He says, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Now, they're all groaning. You ever look at the eyes of an animal after you shoot it? I don't know. It's kind of sad. You know? You ever watch that lion take down that wildebeest, and that wildebeest is kind of like, here we go. It's almost like they know something's messed up. You know? This is my lot in life. I know that there's a crocodile in there, but man, I'm thirsty. So here comes the gazelle. You know? Oh, got me. What is that? Just the curse. Right? 23, and not only thee, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Right? That's the earnest of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And this is a great concept here about the hope that we enter into when we're saved. That is, that a believer is listen, we are saved by trusting and believing something that we've never seen, right? And we continue that faith throughout our Christian life. But Paul says we're saved by hope. What is that hope? Hope is an expectation in the Bible. It's not a wish. It's an expectation, right? It's something that is guaranteed by God that we look forward to. And so we continue in hope after we got saved. We were saved by faith, but the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So we got to put our faith and what he said would happen to us, when he returns, right? It's invisible and it's future. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. Look at that, on the nose. Don't have a heart attack. Good to be saved, amen? Oh Lord Jesus, how long till we shout the glad song? Christ returneth.